All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 128. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And summer movie season keeps, I don't know, rolling. I'm trying to find a good verb for this, but it's just like keeps going with solid releases, it seems like.
Yeah.
And this week we have Spider-Man Homecoming, which I guess I'll let you start off on it because I'm going to be honest, I don't think I've ever been more ambivalent towards the movie as I am towards Spider-Man.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say I thought it was good, but like, I have very little to say. At least I didn't at first. And the more I've listened to like other reviews, like, I guess there's certain things that are like, oh yeah, that was good. And, you know, but like my initial reaction was just, I don't know what I expect out of these movies anymore. Like, it's a good one, but it's like, it's still one of those movies. Like, it's still a superhero movie.
So, I mean, I generally like these types of movies a little bit more than you. And I think I came out of it the same way.
Oh, like, really?
And I really like Spider-Man is one of my favorite comic book characters, like right up there with Batman. So,
yeah.
Like, I did not go in super hyped though, because this is the sixth Spider-Man movie in like 15 years.
Yeah, and second reboot in the same amount of time.
Yeah.
I had reserved heights too, even though like there's, you know, it's got solid Rotten Tomatoes rating, really solid, like really good. A lot of people I know are praising it and are like super happy, like thrilled, like, you know, a lot of fans are very pleased with it. I'm more sick of these movies than you are, but I am the same boat as you. For me, it's Spidey and Batman. Like, those are my two, like,
right,
that I like. So,
like, I came into this movie, not really knowing what to think. Like, I mean, I liked Spider-Man in Civil War was probably one of the best parts in that movie.
Yeah.
But it was very short. I wasn't sure what to expect going into Homecoming. It's a decent one of these movies, but it continues to be a formulaic, like, Marvel Studios, the Disney division of that is, they have like a formula that they kind of apply to all of their movies. And this is a good one of those. I think Tom Holland is very, he's very good as Spider-Man. He's very good as Peter Parker. He is possibly the best mix of those two. Like, he gets the geeky kind of dorky Peter Parker side, but he also gets the energetic Spider-Man side, which, like, if you go back to the other previous movies, like, Tobey Maguire got Peter Parker really right. What the hell was the other dude's name?
Andrew Garfield.
He got Spider-Man right. Like, but there's always been kind of something missing between them. And I think Tom Holland does a really good job of doing it all together. But it's also like, it's just, he's Spider-Man doing Spider-Man things.
I think that the movie gets his character right more than, like, I don't think that Tobey Maguire. Yeah, I don't think Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield are bad or in any way. I think that they look old compared to this Peter. Like, this Peter Parker one,
he looks young. Yeah,
yeah, but he also, like, they get the point of his character in that, like, they really lean into the fact that he's just a young kid who's, like, thrilled to be doing this shit. Like,
right.
There was a lot of, like, kind of, like, brooding and stuff in all the other Spider-Man movies. And this is just, like, you know, I guess part of that is in this one we don't do the origin story again where he loses Uncle Ben, which is, you know, that's, like, a big, sad moment. You don't have that really weighing it down. Like, I don't think they even really mention him. So it's just like a kid, like, having fun, like, thinking that's cool to do this shit, and then, you know, like, problems come along or whatever. But, like, more lighthearted than even, like, a lot of the Marvel movies, which are already pretty lighthearted.
Right.
I like that. I'm fine with it. I guess, dude, my problem is not this movie. It's just, I'm like, I've said it for fucking 2 years now, at least. I'm just so goddamn sick of superhero movies.
Yeah, this is the fourth one this year. Fifth, yeah. If you include like Lego Batman, but I don't really like that's something completely different, I think. But yeah, the fourth like live action comic book movie, and there's more to come. Like, there's
and it's all more the of formula. These.
Yeah,
I really feel like I'm being mean to this. It's not like I said, it's not the movie. It's me. It's I'm sick of the genre. Like, unless if you give me something like Logan or The Dark Knight, which, you know, obviously those are darker movies, but like, I think they are cut above.
But they're against type. Like, they're not. They're against,
yeah.
They're not part of this formula that Disney and Marvel have perfected almost. But they're different.
Yeah, like to me, I don't mean to sound pretentious saying this. I'm just trying to make my point. It's like those are like films. Like those are like. There's something special. They're not formulaic. You know what I mean? Like, and everything else, like, they're still popcorn entertainment, but there's something more to them. And this is just, you know, back to like this genre that I'm sick of. But let's get my hangups out of the way and like actually discuss Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, all right, we like Tom Holland as Peter Parker and Spider-Man. I actually really, 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 really liked Michael Keaton as Vulture.
Like, he is the best thing about this movie.
It's weird because it's not like a super showy like role or anything. Like,
no,
he's kind of just a regular guy, which is what I like about it. Like, you get his motivation. He's kind of excuse me. He's like a working class villain. He's kind of like a Bernie bro, or like, you know, he's like anti corporate message to him.
Yeah.
And you understand, like, it makes sense why he has those politics to him. But really, at the end of the day, it's not just politics. It's just a guy who got fucked over by a big corporation. And he's like, well, I'm just going to have to resort to doing something illegal to make money and get by and support my family. Like, that's it. He's not evil. He's just doing what he has to, like, he's doing like crimes to get by, which I mean, I guess you could call him evil for doing that, but like, he's not a bad hearted person, he's just on the wrong side of the law, I guess.
Like, I mean, I guess, yes, you could call him evil, but I mean, people make bad decisions and get into bad situations all the time, and they're not evil, they just like they do what they can to make support their family, and
yeah.
You could say that maybe he is going a little overboard with it because, like, he lives in a really nice house and drives like a nice car.
Yeah, it's not like he's scraping by. Like,
right?
I mean, maybe he was at the beginning.
Yeah,
I got the sense at the beginning he's like a middle class guy, and he got fucked over, and then so he decided, you know, everyone else just seems to take what they want, so I'm just gonna have to take these scraps, essentially. I forgot what review I was listening to where they're like, he really is like a vulture in it. Like, he's picking up the scraps left behind from people who are bigger than him. I'm like, that is totally true. Great point. Yeah, he's like my favorite part. Like, well, him, like, I remember I was telling some of our other friends, like, when I got the movie, what I thought of it. I was like, it was okay, I guess. I go, but to me, like, the movie rests on Tom Holland's and Michael Keaton's shoulders. Like, they're what I like about it, and I think they're like what carries it.
Yeah, and fortunately, they're very strong shoulders because, like if you get lesser people in those roles, this is a very, I think it becomes a very mediocre film. But it's
because the action in it is not super exciting. Like, I thought the monument part was neat, but like, I don't know, the stuff at the climax, I was not like, the action set pieces are not like mind-blowingly awesome.
No, it's the character work that like pushes this forward, and because the battle between like Spider-Man and Vulture at the end is just okay. That was it. Like there's,
yeah.
I mean, there's a couple cool set pieces. There's the Washington Monument. There's the the Staten Island Ferry. But that was also like the Staten Island Ferry was very much a like straight out of like Spider-Man 2 too. Like it felt much like that.
Yeah, it did. And like I just, you know, they show part of that in the trailer, and I was expecting that part to be like amazing, and it was
fine. It looks cool, and it allows, you know, Iron Man to make an appearance and be, you know, do something.
I thought like the monument scene it was well done. Like one him trying to figure out how to get to the window, and they got pretty cool and creative with that. And then it was cool once he got inside, like the elevator rescue was cool. Like I thought that was like an interesting use of his powers and et cetera. But like, I'm just saying, like, there's no, like, I rewatched Logan recently this week, and like, there are scenes in that where the fence gets stuck to his car and he's like tripping motorcyclists with the fence. And like, you know what I mean? Like super memorable, creative, like, something feels like something new that you haven't seen before. I don't feel, like you said, the fairy scene, it's like you've seen that in Spider-Man 2. Like,
yep. Like, straight down to, like, the, like, there's a guy on the ferry going, like, yeah, Spider-Man. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they twist that around, like, you know, shit starts to break and Iron Man shows up, but, and then he goes, like, yeah, Iron Man, but it's like, really? Like, we've seen this before, and with a lot of these movies, it's becoming, we've seen this scene already. Like,
yeah,
it's, yeah, but I still really like this movie.
Oh yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, I didn't mean to like steer this into like us hating on it. Like I don't hate the movie at all. Like I said, my problem is I'm just sick of these movies, but like, there are things that are really good about this movie. Like it generally like nails it. Like I just, that's part of the thing. I came out of it like, I don't know what I have to say about it. Like it's totally fine. I just don't know that I need many more of these. Like, I guess another thing I really liked about it is the high school side of it. Like, especially his best friend, what was his friend's name? Ned.
Ned. Yes.
Yeah. He's got a best friend who, I don't know, the way that him and his friend play off of each other, I really liked. And the whole, like, his friend's idea of how he wants to be the guy in the chair, which it's like, that was funny. I like that.
But evidently, like, I mean, I didn't know that was a thing, but, like, I like, checked Twitter over the weekend, and that was, like, a huge thing. Like, people are, like, pointing out other people in the, I'm like, all right, I guess that is actually a thing. Like,
he's like, the guy in the chair who gives the info to the hero who's doing all the shit. Yeah. I thought that was really clever and funny. I just don't know what else I'm trying to I'm like, did we cover everything we need to talk about with this? I don't know. I like the final final shot of the movie, like the way it ends. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Do you mean the
like literally at the last second or two of the movie?
Like before the credits?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, before the credits.
With Aunt May. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I thought that was like
actually really good. Yeah.
It was because like they were trying to like remember I was complaining about Baby Driver where they're trying to wrap things up too much, and they started to do that in this, and it did feel like they were wrapping everything up, but then like that's like a good, like you need like a good punchy moment like that to end a movie like this, the movie that was like a fun movie.
Yeah,
it you know, like Baby Driver didn't have that. Yeah, it's just like it got the whole audience to laugh. Like, also, I still can't get over the fact that what's her name is Aunt May,
Marissa Tomei. Yeah,
it's just like I still you know, she was in the last movie, right, as Aunt May.
Yeah, she was in Civil War. Yeah,
yeah, and it's like I still have not wrapped my mind around the fact that Marissa Tomei is Aunt May, and that Marissa Tomei is like 50 something years old now. Like that's insanity to me. But
that's hard to wrap my mind around.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. I don't want to like miss anything on this.
I mean, I thought Jon Favreau as
I'm always
happy
happy to
was
see him.
he was very funny. He just about every scene he's in, and I mean, yeah, they have a very kind of diverse cast.
Oh, for sure.
Flash Thompson, much against I'm actually surprised there aren't more people kind of like up in arms about like some of the casting here, but I thought Flash was really good. He's obnoxious. He's rude. And in the end, like he kind of turns around on all that. Zendaya or however you pronounce it, as kind of MJ was good. She's not Mary Jane, but it's a nice nod to Mary Jane.
I did catch that, and I'm like, well, she is the love interest essentially, though, right? Like, even though they don't go into that in this one, that's kind of where they're heading
Yeah,
towards it.
I think that's where they're going because I don't see Liz being in it any further, right? Like she's Vulture's daughter and they're moving to Oregon or something like that.
Yeah. I liked MJ or whatever her name is in this one.
Michelle, yeah.
The way she just always kind of like,
sarcastic comment,
yeah.
and she gives like the broody, like kind of like moody emo-ness that like the other films have kind of pushed on Peter, which is good.
I also liked I thought this was a very inspired casting, Martin Starr as the teacher.
Yeah.
I don't you rec like he's from like Freaks and Geeks, and he was in like Adventureland. He usually plays one of these geeky kids,
Right.
and here he's their teacher, and kind of like almost incognito if you haven't seen him in a while. Like he's got the beard and
And
sunglasses and stuff.
he pulled it off very well.
Yeah.
I like the nod to like back when they were casting for Amazing Spider-Man, Donald Glover was kind of being thrown around,
Oh
and
yeah.
he plays like a small-time crook in this one, and he has a really cool scene
Yes.
in a parking garage that works really well. Like I thought that
You
was really good.
really need to get better at this part of
Yeah.
the job. Like he's just like dressing down Spider-Man. That was great. I guess I mean I feel bad for being so hard on the movie going into it, but like I've said a billion times, it's not the movie. It's just I'm sick of these movies. But this is like as apart from I think the action is lackluster at points, like it nails all the human parts of it pretty well.
I mean, I think
And
Robert Downey Jr., he's always great as Tony Stark, but like he has these like really good moments with Peter, that I think work really well, almost as like a father figure, but not like there's a. It's, I think it's in the preview, it's in the trailers, like where he's like trying to reach over and let him out, and like Peter's like, "Oh, give me
yeah.
a hug," and like. Like no, just trying to get you out of my car.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
I think that they get the character stuff right. I think they get the tone right. I like that it's just like a fun movie with a sense of humor, and I really like Tom Holland as Spider-Man. I think that's great, and they did a good job with this. I guess just because it wasn't like this. Like I said, on another level, like some of the other movies I mentioned, that to me it just kind of gets piled in with all these other movies. But I do think in a lot of ways it at least parts of it are a lot better than some of these other movies, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
I don't know what else to
there's a lot of
say.
heart and character to it.
Yeah.
It just it did not blow me away, but I liked it quite a bit.
And I guess I just, for whatever reason, thought it would blow me away, and I don't know why, because if you know how sick I am of superhero movies, it should be pretty hard to blow me away. So I just don't, I'm so torn on my verdict on this. It's a good movie, don't get me wrong. I don't know what I want to score yet.
That's fair.
Chris, what's your score?
I'm gonna go with a 4.
Okay.
I did like I mean for all the shit talking we kind of gave the film, it's not as Jeff said, it's not this movie, it's just like the overkill of the genre right now. And I love superhero stuff, and but it's really starting to like just like be overbearing. Like
it's just dude, like ever since we were little kids, the summer movie season is blockbusters, just big dumb popcorn entertainment. In the last 10 years or so, it feels like it's all superhero movies.
Yeah, that's what blockbuster has meant. Like it's been superhero stuff.
There's no original ideas. And I understand that it's like a risk to spend millions and millions of dollars making a big budget movie. But dear God, there's got to be something besides superheroes and Transformers. Like, you're killing me. Like, and even the good superhero movies now, like Spider-Man Homecoming is a very good one. And I'm like, I've seen this genre so much, you know?
And it's funny that we say that because there are, like, cool big budget original movies that are coming out. Like, I think we're probably both going to go see one this weekend, like that wraps up a trilogy, but it is completely outside the the normal like what we've come to expect here. It's just that these movies dominate so much.
It feels like it's all there is, even though like this summer is a great example. Like I said it last week, I think this is one of the best summers I can remember.
It's been very diverse. It's
like we have War for the Planet of the Apes coming up, you know, this weekend. The next week we have Dunkirk, dude. Like, think of that. That's a big World War II movie coming out in the heart of the summer. Like,
yeah, Dunkirk, and like the early word on that is phenomenal.
I'm gonna try to go see it in IMAX because I just can imagine the sound and picture quality on that, like in IMAX, just being mind blowing. So I'm excited as hell for that.
And I mean, I'm not anywhere near as excited for this. But like Valerian looks very
it's something.
It looks like a trippy mind fuck. Like
possible train wreck.
Yeah, it could be completely awful, but like it definitely like there are these big budget movies out there. It's just that like you know Spider-Man and Transformers and Fast and Furious, another series like I really like, but these things just dominate so much of the talk and the box office for weeks on end that
it's almost to the point where like that's all there is. Transformers, superheroes, Fast and Furious. And if you have a movie idea, like you have an action movie idea, like, oh, this would be a great summer action movie. They're like, well, let's fit that into like make that a new Fast and Furious movie because we know that's gonna make money. That's how it feels to me.
Yeah.
And it sucks because I want like that's why I really appreciate Baby Driver. Like, I think Baby Driver is great, but I almost give it more points just because it's not a huge budget movie, I don't think.
It's like $50 million.
Yeah, but just the fact that, like, it somehow broke through this whole system that there's, like, an original fun kind of action movie in the summer. Like, thank you. And we are getting more. Like, I guess we're kind of talking on both sides of our mouths on this, but if this were any other year, I think what we're saying is even more true than what we're saying right now. I think we're getting lucky this summer.
Because we have War for the Planet of the Apes coming this week, Dunkirk the week after, Atomic Blonde the week after that, The Dark Tower the week after that. Like, there is other things out there, but it is.
Like, I can't think of a summer. I really cannot think of a summer where every Friday there's a new movie I want to see, like, really want to see.
It's been an excellent run, so.
But enough, I guess, pontificating about this. I'm gonna go. You know what? I've been mean enough to it. I'm gonna go 4. Like,
all right.
It's a good movie, dude. Like I guess it's hard to impress me with this stuff anymore.
I will say this: it is the third best comic book movie I've seen this year. So.
Yeah. Me too. Speaking of which, I'll just talk about this briefly, and I kind of touched on this in our review of Spider-Man. I rewatched Logan this week, and I think in my quest to be a tough critic and to not buy into hype, or I don't know what it was, it just didn't hit me as well the first time. I really loved Logan when we reviewed it back in March. I watched it again, and I sold that movie short. That movie is fantastic. Like, It's just like when he gets mad, he's just tearing shit up. Like it just, you're like, oh yes, like
it's brutal. Yeah.
And I don't remember in the theater when I watched it, it being as violent and brutal and gory as it actually is. Like it really, really earns the R rating. I don't know why I didn't notice it as much. I thought the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, people oversold the fact that it's like super R rated. I'm like, I'm rewatching it. I'm like, no, I don't know what I was missing the first time. Cause like,
but they didn't.
Yeah. It's super R rated, super brutal. I love all that. It's just a great story. It feels like a Western. The music starts to feel like a Western at some point. And like, dude, the ending, I fucking watching it at home here on my TV, and it's a movie I've seen already. I know what's coming. I teared up at the ending, dude. I was like literally crying at that. Like, I don't know how any human being can watch the ending and resist. Like, just when she's like, daddy, I'm like, holy shit, dude. It's phenomenal. Like, so I guess it bumped, like, on a rewatch, it bumped itself up higher on my list. And I honestly think, like, I would revise my score to a 5. Like, I think that movie is phenomenal.
Cool.
I know you are already in that camp, so I don't know. I know you don't need – did you pick that up on Blu-ray?
I did buy it digitally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, so you've seen it again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking great. What else did you see this week, Chris?
So I finished watching Glow. I don't want to spend too much time on that. But that is a really fun series. I have nostalgia for Glow. Like for the actual wrestling organization from the 80s. But my wife does not. And she watched the entire series with me. And we both loved it. In fact, the way it ends, I think my wife was kind of surprised because it's only 10 episodes long. And so, like, she came down the other night into the basement and normally put on a show or something. I put on Kimmy Schmidt, and she was like, oh, we're switching it up tonight? I'm like, no, like, the series was over. Like, she's like, no, I want more of that. Like, that's a you know, for her, that's a pretty glowing endorsement that she wanted to watch more of it. Because the characters are so fun. They're really enjoyable to be around. And it's, while it's about wrestling, about female wrestling, it's more about, like, these 14 women and this, like, sleazy director. And there's a pretty cool twist in, like, the penultimate episode that kind of plays out over the finale that works really well with him, and like it gives him a little more humanization.
I'm gonna have to check this one out. Like, I've heard nothing but, not just you, everyone that watches this is good. I like Marc Maron. My girlfriend actually likes Marc Maron too, so I don't know what we're waiting for. We should probably watch Blue.
Yeah, I it's fun. And I think, like, even if you don't give a shit at all about, like, 80s wrestling, the setting is great. Like, the 80s setting, in one episode they go to, like, a roller skating rink, so it's like, yes, this is it. Like, but it's a lot of fun, and the characters are really, really enjoyable. So I would take, like, at least give it a couple episodes and see if you like it. But I mean, you have Netflix, so it's
So you finished the season then. You can give a rating.
I'm going to go 4. Okay. Thought it was really good. So I'm going to go with that. And I did watch another season on Netflix. Yeah. I watched the Castlevania Netflix series, the anime.
Yeah.
I am not an anime fan.
Does this count as anime? Is it anime?
I don't know.
I guess maybe.
I mean, it's definitely in the anime style.
Okay.
I don't know if there's, like, how any of that works. I really have no idea. It is a 4-episode series. Each episode is, like, you know, between, like, 22 and 25 minutes long. So, like, you can blow through this. Like, I did it in, like, one day. really quick.
Yeah.
It's fun. Like, it's, you know, it's Dracula and the Belmonts, like the main character, this Trevor Belmont, who is, you would think that he's hunting Dracula, but that's not what this first four episodes is really about. It's interesting. Like, it gets pretty gory.
I talked to you earlier and you said you had watched it. So I watched the first two episodes. So
yeah. What'd you think of them?
It's all right. Like, it's not, I wasn't blown away by it at all, but like, it's cool to see a cartoon where people are saying fuck and like, like eyeballs are getting ripped out of fucking people's heads and shit. Like, that's cool. I like that Trevor Belmont as a drunk in it. Like,
yeah, he's like
a cool character choice. All right.
Is he in the city yet?
In the second one, he was heading into these catacombs at the end, and I was not totally paying attention as to why he was going in there. So I probably missed something very crucial. But
he ends up like meeting these guys called the Speakers. One of their order has gone missing in the catacombs, so he was going to look for them.
Okay.
Under the promise that they'll leave the city because he's been told, I believe at that point by the bishop of that town that he's going to like hunt them down and kill all the speakers.
Who is going to kill all the speakers?
The bishop. Like, he's going to have his like army of people to like go kill them. I like the first episode, which doesn't really deal with Trevor at all. Like, it's
no, not at all. He shows up at the end.
Dracula and his wife, and it's interesting. Like, I think I liked it. I think that the four episodes work really well. I like that it's short.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be done with. I could have sat there and watched it in one sitting, but we started playing Diablo. So,
yeah, which is probably. Diablo's great. So,
yeah, I do like. I kind of dig the setup too. Like, the setup is basically Dracula marries this human woman, and she, for whatever reason, the church thinks she's
involved
in witchcraft. Yep. Yeah, so they burn her at the stake, and Dracula's like, all you motherfuckers have 1 year, and we're coming, or I'm coming with my army from hell that I'm assembling, and I'm going to kill all of you. That's kind of cool. Like, it kind of feels like a video game setup too, where it's like,
yeah,
all his minions are coming out, and he's the boss at the end or whatever. I don't know how the final two episodes play out or whatever, but like,
that's a cool
setup.
So that is the setup. He is not the boss at the end. It ends on it's not really a cliffhanger. It's kind of like a deflating cliffhanger, but
yeah,
it definitely ends with there's going to be more of this.
Yeah, well, like, that's the thing. If they're going to have this be a continuing series, which they are, you can't kill Dracula at the end of episode four. You know what I mean? Like, so that, but I kind of dig that. It's fine. Like, it's entertaining enough, especially like they're the length of a Saturday morning cartoon. They're so short.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, well, I don't know. It's just a fun, easy to digest thing. Yep. And it's super like gory and violent. Yes. And you know, them saying fuck, and I forgot, there's like a dirty joke near the end or the beginning of episode two in the bar. I forgot what it was. I'm like, okay, this is that type of show. There's one, and I love, it's like anti-religious bent, but there's one thing that's weird to me. Dracula's a supernatural creature.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he the man of science? Like I love like the idea of science versus religion, but like it doesn't fit to me. It feels like Dracula's in that religion camp. Like, the way I've always thought of vampires are like kind of in that religion camp. Like, they're with Satan, like the characters on the show say. In fact, he fucking summons shit from fucking hell. So why is he like the like harbinger of science of this? It's so weird. Like, it's just, there's something off with that. But
yeah, they don't really explain that outside of like
he has the knowledge.
Right. I mean, he's been around a while, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. It's just weird for me to have a show about fucking Dracula fucking shit up to be, like, to kind of, like, set itself up in the beginning as, like, science versus religion, and he's science. Like, it's like, dude, no, you're totally part of that religion crazy hocus pocus fucking supernatural bullshit camp, so...
Which I think, like, he does spin that back, right? Like, he does join that, like, crazy religious camp after his wife Lisa dies. Like,
yeah, it's just to me, it's not like I'm trying to explain how I feel about it. It's like mixing two genres, you know what I mean, or whatever. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I guess if I just get over that and accept it as a fucking cartoon, whatever.
Right. Well, I think some of it is that, like, we are not given enough time to really understand who Dracula and Lisa are, and how, like, his wife, like, ultimately, like, transforms him from being the monster that maybe, like, everyone thought he was previously. And, like, we're just kind of like, oh, like, years later, they kill her. And he was out walking because she told him to walk. And
it's just weird for me to have a show that's like reality versus people believing in bullshit, and where everything in the show is complete bullshit. Everything is like,
oh yes,
you know, he's a crazy, you know, he's a monster. Like, he has all these superpowers. Like, to me, it's just I don't know if I'm making sense on this, but like.
I mean, at some point,
it's weird. Like, yeah, you have to
vampires, and demons, and also the church is evil, and everyone's gonna get fucked up by the Belmonts. Like,
yeah, I don't know. It's just for whatever reason that struck me as weird, but like, I still kind of dig the setup of the church killed his wife, and that's why he's unleashing hell upon everybody. Like, that's cool. I guess the only other thing. I'm not trying to hijack your short review of this here, but I guess the only other thing that struck me in the first two episodes is like, God, I wish we had some of that like Castlevania music, like the awesome fucking music from any of the games that I can remember. They're always like super great, and like the music here is, it's fine. It's not bad. It's just, I don't know. Throw me some like classic themes or something. Like, do they throw any of the classic themes in the show in the other two episodes or no?
Not that, like, nothing jumped out at me. So,
okay. I don't know. What would you give as like a rating for the whole first season?
It gets a 3. I liked it. Then I burned through it, you know, in one day, but, and I'll watch more of it when they release more of it. So,
yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat. I just haven't finished it yet. But like, based on the first two I saw, I was like, yeah, you know, it's good.
It makes me want to go play some old Castlevania games, though.
I was like, man, I wish I had like Castlevania 3 on my Switch or something. Like, damn it. Or whatever. I might have to bust out Symphony of the Night on Xbox tonight or something. I don't know.
Right, it makes you want to play those games.
So. No, that's totally how I felt as I was watching it. I was like, I could be playing this, and then I just turned to my girlfriend, I'm like, let's play Diablo, like, which is not, you know, not the same thing, obviously.
It's in the same genre.
Yeah, kind of, devil and shit, yeah.
Did you see anything else?
I did. I'll keep this short. I saw John Wick 2.
Okay.
I felt about John Wick 2 the way I felt about John Wick 1, which is... It's pretty fun, like, action movie. Like fun, intentionally dumb. At least I hope it's intentionally dumb action movie. There were parts I really liked in it. But I just felt the same way. I just feel like people way overhype John Wick. Like,
I'd agree with that.
It's just insane, the hype for it. Like, it's just... I don't know, and it's like, I don't know if other people feel the same way I do, but like, I feel like it's obviously like meant to be stupid. Like, It's like there's all this world building in this, and I don't know if that was in the first one. I don't remember the first one well.
There was a little bit. There's more in this one.
Like, you know, the marker and this and that. And there's like all these characters, and I'm like, remember all this shit from the first one? Or are they just doing this on the fly and hoping that you'll accept it and like just absorb the world? You know, I feel like it's the latter, but maybe like there's like all these rules and shit set up in the first one that I'm like, or people that I'm supposed to know from the first one that I don't remember. So I don't know if you could point me in the right direction on that, but like,
there's the, I can't think of his name, but he was,
like Peter Stormare at the beginning, I'm assuming was from the first one where he's like sitting there like, I'm telling you guys, this John Wick motherfucker's going to come kill us all. And
he was the boss from the first one.
But there's just so many things that like they approach as it's like assumed that I almost felt like they're doing it well. It's like you just build the world and let people figure it out. But like,
because John Wick 2 like picks up like very shortly after the beginning of like the end of the first movie, and he's going to get his car or something.
Yes. But that I know like that's from the first one, but I felt like there were other characters who
Ian McShane, who kind of runs the Continental, he was in the first one.
Was the guy who gets him to do like it was the villain from this one from the first one as well or no?
Okay. No, so that's all. I think that's all new. Or if it I don't know where it was in the
first one. I kind of dig, though, that they don't over-explain who these new characters are. They just act like they normally would, and you have to figure it out because, one, it's not super complex to figure out. It's just really stupid with a lot of, like, little things. Like, there's markers, and there's the Continental, like, this fucking hotel. Like, you know, it's all this fucking shit that's, like, you feel like a movie that is as dumb as I think these movies are would like over explain all this shit, but it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's just there, and it's like you have to kind of figure it out and see what's going on.
I dig that. Yeah, and like there were parts of this movie I fucking dug. Like, there's a rival assassin in this played by Common, and everything between John Wick and I don't know Common's character's name in this, but it's great.
Cassian.
Like. There is a part where they're trying to kill each other and they're walking through like a train station or something. And like one of them is on a higher platform and, you know, John Wick's down on the first floor and they're just looking at each other and they're pulling their guns like out of their jackets and going pew pew, like taking a couple shots, putting the gun back in their jacket, walking a couple feet, pew pew. Like, I just love that they're walking along like secretly having a gunfight that no one else notices.
Yeah.
Like, I freaking love that. And I actually loved where that whole sequence ended up. It's on like this on a train, like and like they have like a knife fight on the train. I really like thought it was really cool, like how that ended up. But just in general, I just think these movies are super stupid. I think they're overrated. I think that the action in them is also overrated. Like, I think. Like I said, my critique of the first one is it's all headshots. And that's kind of what this is, too. Like, he's just running through people, like, shooting them with a gun. But there was, like, something with this in this one, too. Like, with the choreography. I'm, like, I'm watching it. I'm, like, why the fuck does John Wick have to flip over every person and lay them out on their back? Like, what is that? Like, literally, like, I can't tell you how many times I counted. Like, him grabbing some guy by the arm and flipping him over somehow and throwing him on his back. I'm, like... I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous. And like,
it's completely absurd.
It just, like, people think, like, people will kind of treat these movies like they set a new bar for this type of action. And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Have you seen the fucking Raid or the Raid 2? Like, I don't think those are phenomenal movies, but the action in them is mind blowing. Which is funny because I think some of the people that worked on them worked on these movies, but,
I,
you know what I'm saying? Like, have you seen the Raid movies?
I saw the first one.
The hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
the first Raid was, it was kind of like, it got to a point where it was just mind-numbing, though, because it was like nonstop action.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh.
But if you took any one scene from that movie and isolated it and watched it, though, you would be like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. It's just the fact that they do it for 90 minutes straight that you're right. At some point, you're like, you're numb to the effect. Yeah.
I enjoyed John Wick 2 a little bit more than the first one. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I kind of did too. But I think the reason I enjoyed John Wick 2 more is because I had lower expectations going in, and I kind of knew what I was getting. You know what I mean? Like, the first one, people raved about, and I saw it, and I was like, what the fuck? So this one is like, it was more of that, and I enjoyed it more. And like I said, there's parts. I loved the whole thing with Common. Like, that shit was awesome. They buy each other a drink, or I forgot who buys who a drink in the bar. They tell you they're going to kill each other. Like, I just love all that. It's fun, you know?
Right.
But, like, I really do hope that the dude that writes these movies, like, knows that, like, it's stupid. Like, really, really stupid. At least I think it is. It's fucking dumb. The whole thing. But it's, like, it's so dumb it feels, like, inspired dumb. Like, it's, like, isn't this great? We have, like, there's a whole secret society of assassins and, like, there's markers and all this dumb shit. Like, I think it's, like, it's fun. But, like, it does, like, the movie acts like it's super serious. That's how you got to do it. But, like, I just hope they're not actually serious. That's all I'm going to say.
Right, yeah, that would be nuts. The writer of this is cashing in big time on this whole thing, though. There is going to be a John Wick Chapter 3.
Honestly, I welcome it. Like, I've kind of come around on this. Like, I enjoyed it.
There's also going to be a TV series called The Continental.
I don't know if I'd be in for that.
No, it sounds nuts, but I will watch a third John Wick movie. I mean, they're fun.
I do love the idea of the Continental, and, like, you know, there's just the guy at the front desk, like, yes, sir, I will watch your dog. Your dog is very nice. Like, I don't know. It's just like how there's, like, it's like a gentlemanly place for all these assassins to come get their contract. Like, I don't know, dude. It makes no fucking sense.
No, and it's so goofy.
But I love that. Like, there's this little rule. Like, there's a part where someone gets killed in the Continental. He's like, you are not supposed to do that. That's against the rules. I'm like, I love that there's all these stupid fucking rules that you're, like, either just making up on the fly, or maybe there is a book of rules that they have somewhere. I just, it's so fucking dumb and ridiculous. And I guess going in knowing made it better for me. So I'm going to give it a 3, though. I'm like kind of like, I think I gave John Wick 1 a 3 as well.
Okay.
But fun. It's fun enough. Did we cover it all?
You did see a documentary.
Oh, shit.
Series. I don't know if I touch on that.
Yeah, I definitely want to touch on that, because I actually meant to put that at the top because it's a new release. There's a 4-part documentary series on HBO called The Defiant Ones. It essentially is a documentary about Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine. Like, people pronounce his name different.
Yeah.
Jimmy Iovine is, like, the president of Interscope Records.
Okay.
And you're kind of watching it, and it's like the history of these, you know, two people, and you're like, I don't understand how this connects. At least I didn't. I know the 90s music history pretty well. I'm like, all right, what's the connection between all this? And, like, you know, they're going through Jimmy Iovine's life. Like, he produced Tom Petty. He produced Bruce Springsteen. They're, like, talking about how he got his breaks. And, like, they're, you know, there's interviews with Tom Petty and all these big artists in it. And then they're going through Dre's, like, you know, rise to the top. And, like, you know, if you've seen Straight Outta Compton, you kind of know Dre's story. I'm like, what's the connection here? It's like, well, eventually Jimmy Iovine got Interscope Records. Interscope Records basically released every big artist in the 90s. Like, I knew Interscope Records in the 90s. So, like, right. That, if that goes to tell you anything. And including Dre, including Tupac, including eventually Eminem and all this stuff. So it's like, they eventually started to collaborate. And essentially, Jimmy Iovine was Dr. Dre's boss, essentially. And now they're kind of like partners. And the documentary series just kind of tracks their lives, like, going, each of them going from, like, nothing to the top of the, like, literally, like, by the end of it, I mean, I can't really spoil this is real life, like, them selling Beats to Apple for like $3 billion. Like, they're billionaires, you know?
Right.
Like, they didn't just like get successful in the music industry and have like a huge hit album or a string of them. Like, they're fucking kings of the industry. So it's really cool to see like their story. It's just fascinating. I was like, if you're into music history, like, it's definitely like a must watch for me. Like, there's no like mind blowing like revelation or like conclusion that comes to. It's just a fascinating story of their rise. Like, and just like seeing like how like after a while, like Dr. Dre, like he was kind of falling on hard times, like especially creatively. Like, he couldn't, like, he released the album, it was like a flop. The record company wanted to get rid of him. And then, like, you know, you go into the fourth and final episode where it's like he's like fucked, and he discovers Eminem, and that changes everything. Like, I don't know. It's just, I guess I'm just interested in that stuff. Like, I'm interested in Dr. Dre, Eminem, Interscope Records. I probably half the CDs I owned in the 90s were Interscope Records. So, I thought it was really cool. Well worth watching. The coolest thing too is HBO released it like kind of Netflix style. So like, if you have HBO Go or on demand or whatever, all the episodes were up at once. So you didn't have to wait. If you just were watching it on HBO, they also didn't make you wait long either, because they did like one episode on Sunday, one Monday, one Tuesday, one Wednesday. So they're all out there now. I'd say well worth watching. 4 stars. Yeah,
I'm gonna definitely give it a shot. So.
Yeah, I totally meant to bring that up after Spider-Man, but like, it's definitely like, it's new and quite good. If you have HBO, I definitely say it's worth a watch, unless you like don't give a shit about music at all. Well, should be nobody. You should all love music.
Agreed.
So I think that covers it for this week. We are not going to be here, or yeah. I don't think so, unless you plan to do an episode, Chris. You could do one if you'd like, but...
No, I will wait for you to come back. We'll talk War to Planet of the Apes and Dunkirk.
Yeah, it's going to be... I'm going to have some catching up to do, because I'm going to be on vacation until then, so... Well, thanks for watching. We'll see you in a couple weeks, and we'll have some, I think, pretty exciting movies to talk about. Movie dudes! Do-do-do-do-do!